since today is a first Friday of the month, I thought it was appropriate that we would do a voted mass of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The handbook tells us that we as legionaries should be devoted to our Lord's most sacred heart. One of the invocations we say at every Presidium meeting is, "Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us." Frank Duff died on the first Friday gazing at the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus that was across from his, on the other side of his room. So as he lay in bed, when they found him, his hands were folded across his chest, his eyes were still gazing at the image of the Sacred Heart. So what I wanted to do briefly is just mention the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and apply them to our Legion life. The first promise that our Lord gave to St. Margaret Mary, when our Lord appeared to her from the year 1673 to 1675 in France, was the fact that he said, if you are devoted to the Sacred Heart, Jesus says, I will give you all the graces necessary for your state in life. That's very encouraging, isn't it? To know that if you're a mother or a father, if you're a husband, wife, if you're a grandmother, if you're single, married, or in a religious life, whether you be a doctor, a lawyer, or any profession, you will get extra graces to fulfill the duties of your state in life if you're devoted to the Sacred Heart. And that's important for us as legionaries, because let's say if you're a president of a presidium or of a curia or of a council or an officer, if you're devoted to the Sacred Heart, the more devoted you are, the more graces you will get to fulfill your duties of your state in life, not only your family obligations, but also your legion obligations as well. Secondly, it says, the second promise, Jesus promises, I will establish peace in their families. I don't know about you, but I think families need peace in this day and age, perhaps more than anything else. This is important for the legionaries because if you're devoted to the Sacred Heart, then your family should receive extra graces of being peaceful, more so than other families where a member would not be in the Legion, because you show your devotion to the Sacred Heart by your Legion membership. So your family should receive a blessing because of your Legion membership. Also, we need to promote devotion to the Sacred Heart in the homes so families will also obtain greater peace. Jesus says in the third promise, I will bless every house in which the picture of my heart is exposed and honored. And this is referring to the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, when the family will dedicate itself to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. They'll get a beautiful painting or statue of the Sacred Heart and place it somewhere prominent within the home and then consecrate themselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In the Our Father, we pray, Thy kingdom come. The way we can promote the kingdom of Christ is have every single home have the enthronement within the house. We should start with ourselves. I'm sure some of you have not yet done the enthronement in your own home. That's the place to start. When you leave this retreat, make the commitment to do an enthronement of the Sacred Heart in your own home, and then promote it on your Legion assignments and your Legion visits. Our Lord says He will bless every place that has an image of His Sacred Heart. I know in many doctor's offices or other places of business, they will have an image of the Sacred Heart. What a beautiful way to receive God's blessings upon the place of work. For example, a lot of people belong to the Sacred Heart Auto League, and they have a little picture of the Sacred Heart in their sign. Very good idea as well, because He says He'll bless every place that has an image of His heart. A real estate friend of mine, in his briefcase, when he opens it up, there's a picture of the Sacred Heart. And since he's done this, God has blessed his business tremendously. We know of many prisons that have pictures of the Sacred Heart in the cells. We know that we should be promoting this in our nursing homes, to try to enthrone every room of every Catholic in every nursing home that we visit, in the hospitals. We should give out the holy cards of the Sacred Heart, and we should also be going into our schools and make sure that every classroom of all of our schools has an image of the Sacred Heart, And so a good thing for the principal and the teachers to do to dedicate the school to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So we expose the image of the Sacred Heart and we also honor it. And the way we honor it, for example, in your home, if you have the image on the mantelpiece, you might place flowers next to the image or candles to, in a sense, enshrine the beautiful image of the Sacred Heart in your home. So he promises to bless those places which have the image of his heart. Number four, I will console you in all your difficulties. If you're devoted to him in the Sacred Heart, Jesus says, I will console you in your difficulties. Notice he doesn't say, I will take away all your difficulties. He doesn't say that. He says, you will still have difficulties, but I will console you in your difficulties. Number five says, I will be your refuge during life, and especially at the hour of death. Isn't that wonderful that we can go to our Lord as our refuge during life and especially at the hour of our death? And in fact, that's when we say the Hail Mary, we pray for those two times. We say, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Those are the two times we especially need God's grace, right now and at the hour of our death. We really don't need it for yesterday. Tomorrow is not here yet, but we do need it right this moment, and we need to store up graces for the hour of our death. Father Faber says that the devil and the demons are very active around the deathbed of individuals. It's their last chance to try to tempt the soul away from God. So we need to say many Hail Marys, and we also need to be devoted to the Sacred Heart so that at the hour of our death, Jesus will be our secure refuge. Number six, I will shed abundant blessings upon all your undertakings. So your work, your legion assignments, your marriage, your parenting, every aspect of your life, Jesus says that if you're devoted to his Sacred Heart, he will bless you in special ways. This is important for our legion work. Before we go out on a visit, pray to the Sacred Heart. And also pray for the extension of the legion, because we certainly want the legion to grow in our diocese and throughout the world. And Jesus says, I will bless the work that you dedicate to my Sacred Heart. Number seven, sinners will find in my heart a fountain and boundless ocean of mercy. Again, such a beautiful promise. This is important on our assignments to promote devotion to the Sacred Heart, especially for those that have been fallen away from the church for many years, or people that have committed sins that they feel they can never be forgiven. We need to let them know that our Lord's heart is an ocean of mercy. Picture in your mind the Atlantic Ocean. Picture the Pacific Ocean. Jesus says, my heart is an ocean of mercy, and everything can be forgiven, we know from our Lord. Except, he says, the sin against the Holy Spirit, which is the sin of despair, the sin of refusal to accept God's mercy and God's forgiveness in a person's life. So sinners will find in Jesus' heart an ocean of mercy. Number eight, lukewarm souls will become fervent. The lukewarm will become fervent. You know, it's really true that in a lot of ways it's easier to convert a sinner to live a good life than to get the lukewarm to become fervent. Did you know that? And I think our problem in America is that we live in the midst of so many lukewarm Catholics that go to church. Some just go Christmas and Easter. Even some go every Sunday out of habit or out of routine. But they're lukewarm Catholics. They don't do anything above what they're obliged to do. And they're the ones who call up on, you know, when the holy day happens to be on a particular day. They say, Father, will this count for both Saturday and Sunday? You know, we hear that, oh, Father, the wedding I went to on Saturday morning at 10:30, does that count for my Sunday mass? You know, that's what we call the lukewarm. So we need to be especially praying for them and promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart among the lukewarm. Then it says, number nine, fervent souls will rise speedily to great perfection. And this is so important because I believe that all of you are in that category. All of you are fervent souls. Okay? Because obviously you're here on a retreat. You're not the lukewarm Catholics that go to Mass once or twice a year or every Sunday. You are the fervent already. You're already involved in the apostolate, in the Legion. And so this promise, I believe, especially goes for you, that if you're devoted to the Sacred Heart, He will help you to grow in perfection. Number 10, I will give to priests the power to touch the most hardened heart. This happens to be my favorite promise. I wonder why. It's also my favorite promise because it applies to my legionaries as well. If I send my legionaries out, they represent me. They represent the priest. So you, on your assignments, when you go out representing the priest, this promise applies to you as well. You will be given the grace to touch the hardest heart when you go out on your visit. I've seen this so many times of sending out the lay people or visiting a person myself. When the person is very close to God's grace, you pray to the Sacred Heart. And within no time, the person has, their heart has softened, and oftentimes they will go to confession and will come back to the sacrament. So you can have that power as well to touch the hardest part. And number 11, those who promote this devotion shall have their names written on their heart, never to be erased. Now this should be one of your favorite promises, because this really applies to legionaries, because you are out there promoting enthronement to the Sacred Heart, you're giving out holy cards of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you're promoting these good, holy things and this devotion. So our Lord says, if you promote these things, your name will be emblazoned in gold on His Sacred Heart. You know, many people will make great sacrifices to get their names in print. For example, adopt the highway sign. Some people will clean up the highway just because they get their name up there. Others will donate huge sums of money to get their name or the name of their loved ones on a little gold plaque for a stained glass window. If we're willing to make sacrifices for those passing temporary things, should we not spend ourselves in promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart? Because if we do that, we'll have our names written not on a highway sign or a little plaque that not many people read, but on the heart of Christ that beats in the Blessed Trinity. Now, number 12, I promise you, in my excessive mercy, that my all-powerful love will grant to those who receive Holy Communion on the first Friday of the month for 9 consecutive months the grace of final penitence. They shall not die of my displeasure, nor without the sacrament. My divine heart will be their safe refuge at the last moment. Our Lord here is talking about the 9 First Friday devotions. And believe it or not, today is First Friday. So if you've never made the First Friday devotion, start now and in November, and then just go make the commitment every First Friday, December, January, February, March, until the 9 months is up. Go to Mass, receive Holy Communion. You have to offer the Mass and Communion out of love for the Sacred Heart and in reparation to the Sacred Heart for all the sins that have offended Him. You need to go to confession once a month around the first Friday. It doesn't have to be on the first Friday. It could be within a week before or a week after. So you make this novena of 9 first Fridays. And our Lord promises that you will not die without the sacraments, or you will not die in the state of final impenitence, which means He'll give you special graces at the moment of your death. He'll give you the grace of final penitence at the moment of your death. If you need a priest, He will make sure a priest is there. If you're already in the state of grace and have received the sacraments, then you're taken care of. But if a priest is necessary, Jesus promises you that you will have the priest and you will not die without the sacraments. Those are the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart. We should learn them, study them, promote them, and spread devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Yeah, I'm reminded of a little story, because it is a Saturday, the first Saturday of the month, in which we honor the Blessed Mother and the Holy Rosary especially. I'm reminded of a priest that was sent way up into the missions up in Alaska, and no bishop had visited him in many, many years. And the bishop got a little bit concerned because he didn't think it was good for the priest to be up there all by himself,
might not be good for him. So the bishop flies up there and goes to the priest's house, and the father says to him, "Bishop, would you like a martini?" And the bishop says, "Okay." Well, the priest began telling the bishop that, you know, if it wasn't for his martini and his rosary, he could never survive being up there in the mission, okay? And so he says, "Are you sure you'd like a martini?" And the bishop says, "Sure." The priest says, "Rosary, can you bring the bishop a martini for me?" I haven't actually thought of that joke in years, but it just came to me a few minutes before I read the gospel, so I figure I might as well share that one with you. So martini and rosary. Okay. So what I wanted to do for a few moments today during this homily is to talk about First Saturday devotion. This was talked about in Fatima. And we talked for a few moments earlier about how the history of the Legion and the history of Fatima and the Communist Revolution were all intertwined. That in 1917, Our Lady appeared in Fatima. 1917, we also have Lenin working in Russia, bringing about the Communist Revolution. Also, 1917 was the year Frank Duff discovered the true devotion and began working more and more with the poor and the St. Vincent de Paul Society, which eventually led to the establishment of the Legion of Mary. So the roots of the Legion lie in 1917, and communism as well, 1917. Both have some similarities, namely they both use the color red as the official color of these two movements. They both have cell groups, and they even use some of the same terminology, I'm told, such as a presidium and a few other words, a concilium and words such as that. And these two movements, one serving God, one opposing God, one serving Our Lady, one serving the forces of evil, grew for the next 20, 30 years until they clashed. They came to a head in communist China in 1949, and that's what we've been talking about on our other topic. So I thought it'd be important to mention briefly the message of Fatima and about this First Saturday devotion. We know that on July 13th, 1917, Our Lady showed the children a vision of hell. This is July 13th, and she said, "This is the place where poor sinners go." And after the children saw this frightening vision of hell, Our Lady said, "You have seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go. In order to save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. I shall come to ask for the communion of reparation on the first Saturday." So she said, "I'm going to ask for this communion of reparation." Then, on December 10th, 1925, Our Lady again appeared to Sister Lucia in her convent in Pontevedra, Spain. And Our Lady was holding the child Jesus. And then she more fully expounded upon this five First Saturday devotion. And she told Lucia, "My daughter, look at my heart surrounded with the thorns with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. You at least try to console me and announce that I promise to assist at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for salvation all those who," and remember this well, these are the important points to remember, "who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months go to confession, receive Holy Communion, recite five decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary with the intention of making reparation to me." So these are the conditions that we need to do. And the first Saturday, we should attend Mass. Now, it is a first Saturday in November, so you already got 20% is done today, okay? So you only have left is 80%. All you have to do is, and I'm sure a lot of you went to confession today or will go within the next week, or you might have gone within the past week. So you're allowed to go to confession within 8 days before or 8 days after the first Saturday. And then you attend Mass and receive Holy Communion, and you offer that Mass in reparation and in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Then, sometime during the day, you recite 5 decades of the Rosary. Okay? And then, it says you need to spend 15 minutes in meditation on either one or all of the mysteries. So it's up to you how you want to spend that 15 minutes. You could spend the whole 15 minutes just meditating upon the Annunciation, or the crucifixion, or the agony in the garden, or you could spend 1 minute and meditate upon all 15 mysteries, or you could spend 3 minutes meditating upon 5 mysteries, or 5 minutes meditating upon 3 mysteries, or 7.5 minutes meditating upon 2 mysteries, okay? Whatever, you get the idea, okay? So, but it's, in other words, it's keeping Our Lady company. It doesn't have to be done at church. You can do the meditation in your own home. But that's important, though, to spend the 15 minutes keeping Our Lady company and doing these things, the Mass, the Rosary, and the meditation, in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Well, then it was asked, why is there 5 Saturdays and not, you know, 9 Saturdays, like 9 First Fridays, you know, when you make a novena of 9 Masses? And the answer came in 1930. Our Lord appeared to Sister Lucia, and Lucia asked him why he wanted 5 Saturdays. And he said, my daughter, he said, the motives are simple. And then he went on to tell her about the 5 kinds of offenses and blasphemies uttered against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And he mentioned these. The first one is blasphemies committed against the Immaculate Conception, those who deny that Our Lady is conceived without original sin. A sin is the defined dogma of the Church. We as Catholics believe that, and it's a dogma of our faith. So the first Saturday, for example, today, you could offer your Mass in reparation for that particular blasphemy, those who deny her Immaculate Conception, those who make fun of it. Like Madonna, that singer, she has her, one of her CDs is called that. You know, I forget the exact title, but it's that idea. So, this is the kind of reparation we make for those who deny her Immaculate Conception. Secondly, blasphemies against Mary's perpetual virginity, those who claim that Mary had other children. And this is something that, as I'm sure most people of other faiths do not have any malice. They just think that that's what the Bible says. Obviously, it refers to the brothers and sisters of Jesus, but we know those meant his cousins. Nowhere does it say that those were Mary's children, for example. And obviously, when Jesus was dying on the cross, if Jesus had brothers and sisters, they would have taken care of Our Lady, but since she had no one else, he had to entrust her to St. John, a beloved disciple who was not even a relative. So, anyway, the second one is those who blaspheme against her perpetual virginity, those who make fun of Our Lady's perpetual virginity. Third, blasphemies against the divine maternity. This means that those who blaspheme calling Mary the Mother of God. The divine maternity does not mean that she's divine. It just means that she gave birth to Jesus Christ, who is divine. And Jesus Christ is God. Mary gave birth to Jesus. Therefore, you can call Mary the Mother of God. But there's a lot of Nestorians and other people that don't even realize. They say, no, you can't call Mary the Mother of God. You have to call her the Mother of Jesus. But we, of course, know as Orthodox Christians that Jesus Christ is one person, a divine person who had a human and divine nature. And when a woman gives birth to a baby, she doesn't give birth to a nature, she gives birth to a person. And the person she gave birth to is Jesus Christ, who is God. Therefore, you can call her the Mother of God. So this third one is blasphemies against the fact that she's the Mother of God and refusal to accept Mary as the mother of all mankind. Okay, those who say, Mary is not my spiritual mother. That would be wrong because Jesus entrusted Mary to us through John at the foot of the cross. So we do have Mary as our spiritual mother, and she has us as her spiritual children. But number 4, blasphemies of those who try to publicly implant indifference, contempt, and hatred of the Immaculate Mother in the hearts of children. So we need reparation, make reparation for the priests or nuns or lay people or catechists that over the last, especially 30 years, have taught incorrect teachings to our children who have implanted indifference, contempt, or hatred towards the Blessed Mother in the hearts of children. That's another very important thing we need to make reparation for. And lastly, number five, blasphemies of those who insult her directly through her sacred images. Namely, that would be those who destroy statues or works of art that they claim are Marian, and yet they're not really works of art, as we well know. Or those who, after Vatican II, went into the churches and took sledgehammers to the statues of Our Lady or destroyed stained glass windows or icons of Our Blessed Mother. Those things happened on large scale, as you know, after Vatican II. So we need to make reparations for those who destroyed the images of Our Blessed Mother or those who did not treat images of Our Lady correctly. So this is the first Saturday. I encourage you, December, January, February, and March, okay? That's your homework from this retreat. So already, you've already gotten 20% of it done. I encourage you to make the five first Saturdays. The reason is because Our Lady says, if you do this, she says, I promise you, in my mercy, to supply you with all the graces you need at the hour of your death. And that's so important because Father Faber says, and I told the group last night during the talk, I gave a talk on the nine first Fridays and went through the 12 promises last night during that conference, but I told them that Father Faber says that at a person's deathbed, that's when the devil is very active, because it's his last chance to tempt people and lead them away from God. So we need to pray lots of Hail Marys, lots of rosaries, and have Our Lady pray for us now and at the hour of our death. And apparently it will be a great consolation for us on our deathbed to have made the nine first Fridays or the five first Saturdays, because if we've done this, then Our Lady does say she will bestow upon us special graces that we need at that moment. God bless you.